In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
In the liturgical readings of today, Jesus Christ prays that his followers, namely we, may be united, may be one, even as he and his heavenly Father are one. This is his last testimony, last will. Perhaps we have been divided. We are not united with each other in our own families, in our own context, in our own social life. Let's ask God's pardon and thus prepare ourselves to offer this Mass. Let us pray. May the martyr Saint Boniface be our advocate, O Lord, that we may firmly hold the faith he taught with his lips and sealed with his blood, and confidently profess it by our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
First reading, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now you must bear witness in Rome. Since the tribune wanted to know what precise charge the Jews were bringing against Paul, he freed him and gave orders for a meeting of the chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin. Then he brought Paul down and stood him in front of them. Now Paul was well aware that one section was made up of Sadducees and the other of Pharisees. So he called out in the Sanhedrin, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. It is for our hope in the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial." As soon as he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was split between the two parties. For the Sadducees say there is neither resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, while the Pharisees accept all three. The shouting grew louder, and some of the scribes from the Pharisees' party stood up and protested strongly, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit has spoken to him or an angel?" Feeling was running high, and the tribune, afraid that they would tear Paul to pieces, ordered his troops to go down and haul him out and bring him into the fortress. Next night, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Courage! You have borne witness for me in Jerusalem. Now you must do the same in Rome." The word of the Lord.
Rejoices in God,
my Savior, my soul, just magnify the Lord.
He shows me His might and His power. The proud He will strip off His grandeur. The humble He draws to the throne of His love. I praise the name of the Lord.
My soul, just magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My Savior, my soul, just magnify the Lord. My soul, just magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My Savior, my soul, just magnify the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Holy Father, I pray not only for these, but for those also who through their words will believe in me. May they all be one. Father, may they be one in us as you are in me and I am in you, so that the world may believe it was you who sent me. I have given them the glory you gave to me, that they may be one as we are one. With me in them and you in me, may they be so completely one that the world will realize that it was you who sent me and that I have loved them as much as you loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they may always see the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Father, righteous one, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and so that I may be in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Gospel of today, which is taken in the Gospel of St. John, we have the priestly prayer of Christ. Christ is the high priest. His prayer was always heard by the Father. He himself testifies to this, saying, when he lifted Lazarus from the dead, he said, addressed the Father, saying, Father, I know that you listen to me. So the prayer of Jesus Christ, always heard by the Father, listened to by the Father. Secondly, Jesus Christ is a high priest. And thirdly, Jesus Christ makes this prayer in the context of this gospel, the last moment of his life here on earth. The next paragraph begins his passion. So, St. John, when he writes this text, he puts it in the right place. The most important thing for Christian life, he is placed in this place so that we may know that is most what is in the mind of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ prays not for himself now, nor for his apostles, but for those who, through the preaching of the apostles and disciples, come to believe in Jesus Christ. That is to say, Jesus Christ prays for us. The scope of the prayer of Jesus Christ is we. He prays for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the High Priest, before he begins his passion, prays for us. What is the object, content of his prayer? He prays that we may be one. Because this unity among ourselves is absolutely necessary that we may come to enjoy his glory in heaven. So the purpose for which Jesus Christ prays is that we may be one. And this oneness should be an expression that we believe in Jesus Christ. To say that we believe in Jesus Christ, to have Christian culture, Christian name, and other Christian ways of living, but not to be united with Christ is diametrically opposed to each other. The most important thing for the followers of Jesus Christ is to be united among themselves. Because without this union among themselves, they cannot come to enjoy the beatitude for which they are called. Therefore, Jesus Christ prays for us that we may be united among ourselves. Human beings that we are, every person is unique in many ways, in our thinking, in our speech, even in our bodily condition. We are, every person, unique beings. And therefore, there will be difference in this, in our existence. But this difference will not be against our unity. Then what is the kind of unity he is speaking of? He speaks of that unity in love. As long as we, be it in our secret thought or word or deed, we are not against each other. And as long as we try within our means to enhance the happiness of others, in our thought, in our words and deeds, we are united in Jesus Christ, united with each other. To repeat again, Jesus Christ prays that we may be united among ourselves, because this is the precondition so that we may come to enjoy the beatitude for which we are called. The unity he speaks of is unity of faith and love. Faith because we all believe in Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. Love because, be it in our thought, however secret it may be, or in word, or in deed, or in attitude, or in disposition, we are not against each other. On the contrary, in our thought, word and deed, in our very lifestyle, we try to enhance the happiness of each other. And Jesus Christ prays for this. We have heard this prayer from the gospel itself. Now we have to look into our own heart and see whether that prayer of Jesus Christ, which was addressed to the Father on my behalf, is realized in my life. Do I live such a life without any jealousy or hatred or division or contention? Do I really try to help each other within our means? Do we try to enhance the happiness of each other? This is the scope of the prayer of Jesus Christ, and it must be realized in us. The prayer of Christ is heard by the Father, And the prayer of Christ is the prayer of the high priest. And the prayer of Christ is the last will of his. Because before he begins his passion, he says this prayer. And this prayer is addressed for me, for you, all of us individually. It should be realized in us. Now, if it is not realized, can we say, can we have the courage to say that Jesus did not pray well? Or should it not be right that I have become a stumbling block even for the priestly prayer of Christ? That's the first question we need to answer. And as we listen to this good news, we must change our lifestyle and try to live not only in union with God, as an expression of that union with God, we must be united with each other in love. And that must be an expression that we are really believers in Jesus Christ. That's why in the second sentence he says, through their union that the world may know that I am the one who is sent. So our fraternal union, life of union with each other, should be an apostolic sign that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah and the Redeemer, and that we are the redeemed ones. And this is the sign, again, he adds, as long as we are united with each other, that's a sign that God has chosen us and predestined us for beatific life in heaven. As long as we are united with each other, is the sign that we are united with God. And as long as we are united with God, we are predestined for the beatific life in heaven. And that is the sign that the glory which is given to Jesus Christ is also given to us. And what more Jesus Christ can desire for us? Jesus Christ was one with the Father. Jesus Christ was one with the humanity to the extent of laying down his life for them. And he prays that the same may be realized in us. Because this is the only way in which we can express that we believe in Jesus Christ, which could be the sign that we are predestined for heavenly glory, which is the sign that Jesus Christ is the true Redeemer, the Messiah. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, as we listen to the priestly prayer of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of today, let's look at our own selves, our own hearts. If there is any sense of division, contention, hatred, enmity, jealousy, this is the time to pray to the Lord to remove it from our heart and give us a new heart of fraternal union. And he makes one sentence we fail to understand. He sets before us a model for union. Even as I am one with my Father, let them be one with each other. We know that Jesus Christ is one with the Father as the person of the most blessed Trinity, one in essence, one in substance, one in power. Even so, we may be one with each other. We are numerically different. We have numerical different substance. Whereas in Jesus Christ and the Father, there was numerically one substance. We have numerically multiple substance. But that numerical division does not count. What counts is the union in love. When a person is really united with the other person in love, she experiences that the other is her own self. I've said something. When, for example, a spouse really lives in love with her spouse, husband, she does not consider her husband as the other person. She considers her husband as one's own self. To give another example, a young woman having a child, if she really loves that child, does not consider the child as the other person. It's a part and parcel of herself. This is also the biblical teaching in the Old Testament. So Jesus Christ places before us the model for our union. Namely, as He is one with the Father, that we may be one with each other. The moment we begin to see or begin to distinguish she and me, I and you, they and we, there begins the problem. On the contrary, if we are enlightened in faith and transformed in love, we begin to see that in terms of we, then there is no problem. There is no jealousy. There is no contention. There is no hatred. I begin to experience you is me. I am beyond my name and form. Would that I were able to understand this. In my unredeemed condition, I see myself as I see my image in the mirror, my name and my form. I identify myself with my name and form. When I am transformed in the love of Christ and enlightened in the love of Christ, I see myself not restricted to my name and form. I see myself in you and you in me. This is possible in the natural order between a mother and a child. You know it. Definitely you know it. This is experienced between spouses, husband and wife, and you know it. If this can be experienced and realized in this mortal natural order, grace is infinitely stronger than nature. It should be realized also according to grace. And it's for this Jesus Christ prays that even as He is one with the Father, we may be one with each other. And as long as we are one with each other, we are chosen and destined for heavenly glory. This is the last priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, and it must be realized in us. In our own interest, let me conclude, in our own interest, which gives us joy, peace and serenity, division or union? It is union, not division. Division always points to limitation. Union overcomes limitation. If we want to be happy, and that's why we are living. If we want to be happy, that's why we are slogging day and night. One of the best ways of true happiness is life of union. And that union is in our enlightenment in faith and in our liberated life in love. May the blessing be ours. Amen.